Tonight will come from Romans chapter 15, verses 23 to the end of the chapter at verse 33. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I perform this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. I want to rehearse a little bit what we saw in the preceding verses of this 15th chapter, verses 14 through 22. It's one of the most awesome sections of scripture that we've read about the ministry of Paul and about him telling the church at Rome, I know I've written to you kind of bold, but remember, I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. And so he did. He got on them pretty good a few times. He said a lot of things to encourage them. He spoke of the ministry that God gave him to fulfill. And he was very careful, as he mentioned those things, not to speak about the work of others. He tried to focus on what God had done in his own life. He said that he had tried, he had endeavored to go where the gospel had not yet been preached. I think about some men today who are still striving that way. Paul said as he ended that section, I preached the gospel in all of this area, beginning at Jerusalem and all the way up into Europe, down to Corinth, and I preached the gospel fully. And we mentioned how that this man evidently had walked most of the places he went. We today, I'd have trouble going there in an automobile. But thank God for men like Paul. Gave us an example. Now, in these verses which I read to you tonight, Paul speaks to the people at Rome about his desire to go to Spain. That's what he's got in mind to do. But first, he wanted to see the saints in Rome. Great desire to impart to them some spiritual gift and to preach the gospel to them. He said that he had no further work to do in the place where he was. Now, I think this letter was written from the church at Corinth. And as we study, like 2 Corinthians, especially chapter 8 and 9, it talks about the offering that was made for the poor saints who were in Judea who were suffering. And Paul was to take that offering back to Jerusalem, and others were going to go with him. In the 16th chapter of this book, in verse 23, Paul says, Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. And Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, their brother. This pretty much tells us that he was at Corinth when he wrote the letter. We read about Paul's great desire to come to Rome and impart some spiritual gift in the first chapter of this book. I'd like you to turn back there with me, if you will, please, and let's read verses 8 through 13. Verses 8 through 13 of chapter 1. First, he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Now remember, he hasn't seen these people yet. But he says, I thank God for you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end or the purpose that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let, the word let means hindered, hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as other Gentiles. Now look at why you're there, verse 15 and 16. So as much as in me is, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So he lays it out. I want to see you folks. I'm pretty anxious about coming. Now look at verse 24 back in chapter 15. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. He's got a lot of things in mind here. I'm going to Spain. That's my plan. But first, I want to see you in my journey. And I want you to help me get on to Spain. That's what he's saying to him. You'll bring me on my way. But first, I want to be filled with your company. He wanted to sit down with them and talk and listen and be blessed there among the saints whom he never met. You know, it was talking about them helping him on with his journey. Not only did this man have to use his feet to get where he went, but there were dangers all about in that time of the world. I think we can't hardly comprehend all of the dangers that were there with him. He says this in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 26 and 27. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, cold and nakedness. It wasn't an easy thing to get from one place to another because these dangers lurked on every hand. So he wanted to be filled with their company, and then he says, I'm going on. Want you to help me with my journey. In verse 25, there's a but. But now, I'm not leaving right away, whatsoever I do. But now, I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. That is, he was going to leave Corinth. And being accompanied with others, he would take the offering of the churches for the poor saints in Judea. Let's read about that a little bit from 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 4. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I also go, they shall go with me. So that was the plan. This money had been collected all the way back up in Macedonia and now down to Achaia, and he was going to take it to Jerusalem for the poor saints. I want to say this to you tonight. I think most of you know this anyway, but one of the best things we can do with our means is to help other poor saints who are struggling with issues. They may be all over the world, but people that we know about, if God give us the opportunity to open our hearts and our wallets to help them. Here's a great example of that. It's one of the major examples in the New Testament about giving. Now notice verses 26 and 27. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. They've been grafted in to the promises and blessings of Israel by the gospel. And so they have been partakers of the spiritual thing that were first given to the saints in Judea. What a little thing it would be to minister to them of their means. I won't read this tonight, but you can read all about this in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. The one thing I want you to always remember in that study is when a need comes up, the Lord would have you to give as you purpose in your heart. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. It ought not to be a drudgery to us, but it ought to be a blessing for us to give to help other saints. We can't help the whole world, but brothers and sisters, we can help the saints of God as we have opportunity. Now in verse 28, Paul said, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. That's his plan. I'm taking this money to these people, and as soon as they have it in their hand and it's safe, then my purpose is to come to you on my way to Spain. Then verse 29, and I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I want you to think about this. Paul's plan, I think he could see this in his mind. Somehow I'm going to get on a ship. I'm going to Rome. When I get there, they're going to help me get on my way to Spain. He wasn't mistaken in his confidence that he was going to Rome. But his visit to Rome was in very different circumstances from what he expected. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel, good news indeed, he did have when he arrived there and was given freedom to preach the gospel of the kingdom. I want to read this from Acts chapter 28, verses 16 through 31, about his journey to Rome. Acts 28, verses 16 through 31. And when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I've committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, we neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, he's talking about Christianity, we know that everywhere it's spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known unto you, therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. I like this. Now, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. He did have a wonderful, marvelous opportunity to preach the gospel to these people. Here he was chained, tied to a Roman soldier, and yet the Lord fixed it so he could preach the gospel to them. No one forbade him of that. 2 years went by, and he was still preaching the word. Not like he planned. He would never have even thought of that when he was making this plan. When he would go and think about it, he was going to Jerusalem to deliver up the money. And he thought, I'm going to leave right away. But he didn't know he was going to get into it with the Jews when he got to Jerusalem. And they were going to send him down to Caesarea, and he was going to see Felix, he was going to see Festus, he's going to see King Agrippa, and finally he was going to have to say, I stand at Caesar's seat where I ought to be judged. Well, he was right to do that. He was a Roman citizen. So that was the way he went. Now look at verse 30 in our text in chapter 15. Now I beseech you, brethren, he's begging them, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. I want you to pray for me. He was definitely going to Rome, but not in the circumstances he had hoped. We remember that Paul was taken to Caesarea, and he appeared before Felix, then before the governor Festus, and finally before King Agrippa, who, hearing Paul with Festus present, said this in Acts 26, 31, 32. And when they were gone aside, they had listened to what Paul had to say. They talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or bond. He's not guilty. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. The very fact that he did appeal to Caesar sent him to Rome. He wanted to see him. It's amazing. So in his asking for prayer, look at verse 31 and 32. Part of the things he asked about, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. He did ask them to pray for his deliverance, but it's not always the will of God that our prayers, which we ask, are answered in an affirmative manner. Because the people in Judea did set upon Paul like a criminal. So here's the specific of his need. Going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. He knows there are many in that place who will oppose him. And he knows these people, that they're going to be violent, and he prays to be delivered. But brothers and sisters, it wasn't the will of God. And still, it turns out for good for Paul in a different manner. He wanted to come to Rome by the will of God and be refreshed. Now he closes this section with these words in verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. It's amazing in this chapter that we've read about the God of patience, the God of consolation, the God of hope, and now he speaks about the God of peace. God comforts us, encourages us, gives us hope, and gives us peace. He prayed that for the saints that were in Rome. I want to leave you with this thought tonight. We'll close this. We can see clearly from the study of this section, Paul's heart had devised his way, but God directed his steps. As the Lord always does for his children. So whatever your plans, think about this. When it begins to go in another direction, thank God that he's moving you according to his will and not your own. Paul said, I'm going to Spain by the way of Rome. But he did go to Rome, but not the way he thought. Think about this tonight. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 16:1. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. There's things going on in our life that we won't understand and we won't admit, but God is doing it. Proverbs 20:24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? God is moving you and I. The Lord's doing that. Jeremiah said in verse 10, chapter 10, 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. But he directed Paul one foot in front of the other until he got him to the place where he wanted him to be. And so it will be with us.